Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is episode number 368 for those of you keeping score. And thank you to Far Cry, the awesome band from whom we get that great intro music. Thank you to Pete Fry, especially the lead guitarist, real fretboard wizard. So tonight, yes, this is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky. And joining me tonight in the co-hosting chair, or is the wonderful, the vivacious, the awesome Holly Phillippe. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm here.
Yes. It has been, we haven't come up for air this week. I tell you, it's been a lot of work going on. I can vouch for Holly doing a lot of work. I can definitely vouch for me doing a lot of work. I mean, it's been a lot. Yeah, I've gotten... Well, on the creative side, I've gotten probably close to about 10,000 new words on a new book project done over the last few days, and been editing finishing up the editing on a pretty massive book project for another author, and then, of course, all the stuff going on with the convention and everything else. So, yeah, it's been a really, really busy time, and Holly's been working, but we got good updates, and we're running just a little bit behind on a couple things. We are supposed to have, should have in the next couple of days, a lot more panels and workshops going up on this Imaginarium site. We did have a big update today on that, which I'll get to in a second. And also we should have some more film selections being announced pretty much any day now. Just waiting to receive those at the moment. But that's kind of a day-to-day thing, but should have some more. But do make note that the late entry deadline is still open until May 31st on that, so you can still get some film projects in. And Holly, I'll go ahead and give the updates, because it'll give people a good picture about how much stuff that we've had going on since last week, for sure, here. And as far, I'm just trying to make sure I don't repeat anything that I'd already announced. But yes, since last week only, we've had several announcements. As far as new guests, we had several new panelists announced. We announced Heather Lee Ryan. We also is author. And we also announced Randy Perrin, author, editor, and journalist. And we also announced Isaac Kraft, author, artist, and graphic designer. And then we also have, as far as new panelists, we have Kelly Ferguson, who's author, editor, David Sims, author, musician, and Les Murphy, who's an award-winning actor and filmmaker. So those are the latest panelists that we've had come aboard. And then we've also had a couple of amazing spotlighted guests. You've heard them on the show before, in fact, and that's our Kyle Hanna. And he is an award-winning author, editor, and publisher, vice president with Jumpmaster Press. And then also, of course, as you might guess, the president of Jumpmaster Press, and the other part of that dynamic duo, award-winning author, publisher, audiobook narrator, well, voice actor, I should say, to be completely accurate, and the cover designer, Gene Rowley. And yes, both of them were announced as spotlighted guests. So yes, we had six new panelists and two new spotlighted guests there. And then today we announced some new workshops and panels, just to give you some news there. This is from today, in fact. And we added two new workshops on the site and 10 new panels. And I'll quickly give you a look at the workshops. Make Your Author Impact, marketing strategies to sell more books, increase your reach, and achieve your why. That's being presented by the awesome Stephanie Fager. And, remember that name because you'll be seeing her or hearing her, I should say, on the Star Chamber Show very soon. And then also, as far as new workshops, small actions, big impact, marketing your book in just 15 minutes a day. That will also be presented by Stephanie Fager, and she is an amazing expert when it comes to book marketing and publicity, and recently announced as a spotlighted guest. Absolutely, that's going to be fantastic content. And then, as far as new panels that were listed on the site with descriptions, we have one listed for 3D printing. That applies to pretty much all the areas of the convention, from game design to writers to filmmakers, everything. And then also audiobooks, a how-to, and then one called attractive blogging. That's about writing good blogs and maintaining one. Building your website, probably one of those key things for any author as far as their platform goes. Editing while writing, and that's the practice of authors getting sucked into editing while they're writing their first pass, and that's going to be a fun panel and definitely useful for, as far as the advice. The ethics of writing true crime is another. Hybrid genres, that's all about the wonderful world of cross-genre fiction. And then we have, of course, the popular Marvel versus DC. Moderator for that has been named, and that's Tony Acree. Then we have the stages of film and TV production, and that covers pretty much A to Z in the production process. Really, really good comprehensive panel. And then we have also writing police forensics panel, and that moderator has been named as Janie Franz. So, yeah, that's 10 new panels, 2 new workshops. So, yeah, a lot more content has been added as of today on the site. Full descriptions, go check it out. And definitely, if you're looking to get any, like Expo Space or Awards Banquet tickets, do so. They are about, like I said, not many left. It won't be long before those are completely sold out. It's it's getting down to almost any day kind of thing on those. And the other thing that I think is fun to mention is Holly found out today that we already have a record number of hotel room nights that have been reserved, she found out, at the hotel site. So, I mean, we're sitting here just under 2 months out from the convention, and we've already well exceeded the number of hotel room reservations for the convention in our entire history. So that's a very good indicator that there's a lot of good momentum. And, if you've waited to get a hotel room, I would definitely do so like yesterday, because once their inventory is gone, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. They're going to run out because we have filled quite a few rooms, and that she keeps adding more. She added a few more today, so go ahead and get your room because I'm telling you, it's only the end of May, and there's a lot of people wait last minute, and if you wait till last minute, they're not going to be there. They are not going to have a room.
Right. Yeah, we've already set a record, so this is great. So I'm very happy to report that good news to you. So, but as far as everyone else is concerned, you better do it like yesterday. And again, with Expo Space, because we're down to the very last spots available for the Expo Hall and Creative Alley, and down to just a handful of banquet tickets. Those are almost gone. So, definitely get that stuff wrapped up if you need it, because we can't do anything about it. Once all that stuff is gone, it's gone. So, but yes, it's looking really, really good. We are really surprised and happy to hear the room reservation totals. I mean, people are coming in on Thursday and staying through Sunday night to Monday too. So that, people are staying on the bump dates too. That's cool. Yeah. So it looks like people are wanting to get a fully immersive week, so at Imaginarium. So that's good news. But like Holly said, you better do it like yesterday. It's definitely it's a lot of news. So there we go. And looks like we got the chat room is open and working. Hello to Clayton Barnett, of course, the awesome Sandy Lender. Looks like Metalbeck Harrison is in there. Chat room's building up. Definitely hit refresh if you're having any trouble logging in. Sometimes it's finicky, sometimes it's not, but if it is, just keep trying. because we definitely love taking comments and questions from the chat room. Tonight is going to be a really interesting one. Really been looking forward to this one. So it's been, for me, it's been 2 years in the works in terms of how tonight has come together. I've been trying to get tonight's guest for a couple of years now, but hopefully, yes, he should be calling in here in just a few minutes. But yeah, before we get to that, it's going to be a fun discussion. Cover a lot of ground. It's going to be interesting, unique, and some stuff you don't normally get to hear about on the Star Chamber show. So yeah, we'd love to shake it up a little bit every once in a while. But yes, it's still in the world of creatives and content creation and all that good stuff. So yeah, we're not off topic. It's just going to be unique. But leaving you with that teaser, I'll get to the folks that brought you tonight's show. Of course, it's the amazing Sandy Lender. Yes, the one and only Genre Blender, just coming off a great appearance at a book convention in Florida that went really well. Sandy, you had a very successful event, came back with a full head of steam and has been definitely ready to rock and roll since the last weekend. So congrats on that, Sandy, and thank you very much for your support. And here is a little bit from Sandy herself.
Author Sandy Lender invites you to visit her website at authorsandylender.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylender.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thanks again, Sandy, and get out there and purchase some Sandy Lender books and let her know you appreciate her support of the Star Chamber show. And also for joining Sandy tonight are those amazing folks at Per Bostet, all three of whom, like Sandy, will also be at Imaginarium, and that's Teely Harris, Sarah, Marion, and Marion Allen, the literary triumvirate, as I call them. Or literary trifecta, if you prefer. Definitely great, great folks. But here we go, and I'll give you a little bit about them. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Frost as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at In Conjunction Indianapolis, and of course Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. So yes, get out there, buy some Per Bostet titles, and both of the authors that are mentioned in that spot are also going to be at Imaginarium, both Jenny Franz and M.B. Dabney, and both are fantastic. So support Per Bostet, get a couple of their titles too, and you can cover it all. So yes, thank you very much. And tonight we are getting ready. Here we are going to be watching for our guest here, Holly. And Holly can vouch, yes, we've been waiting a long time for tonight's guest, haven't we?
Yes, been trying to get him on here.
Yes.
He's a busy man. Yes.
He is. He is a hard worker, and definitely give him some.
Like every day, because Stephen is always playing his YouTube, and
yeah.
He used to go by just Mick, but now he's going by his full name.
You'll find out here in just a second. Yeah, we're just waiting for him. He should be calling in here in about a minute, I think, and we'll give him his introduction and bring him onto the show. But I can tell you personally, I'm really excited about this one. And so that now that hopefully, like I said, he won't forget. He's so busy. And I'm sure he'll remember to call in tonight. But yes,
well,
after this,
you got to be getting a hold of him.
Yeah, no, he's gonna call in. I have faith in him.
If he doesn't call in, Clay, you're in the chat room. I guess you'll have to call in, Clay.
We might have to put him in. Oh man, yes.
Well, we could talk about. We do need to announce
presentation. Here we go. Wait. I think, yes. This is good news. So, yes, let me, without further ado, get to the introduction. Tonight, folks, is a very special night for me. About two years in the making. And tonight's host is a YouTube channel host and a content creator. And his channel brings viewers insights, updates, and news from the financial world and the world of cryptocurrency. And his channel is called Only Good on YouTube. It's a popular and growing channel and one that I love very much. And so tonight I'm proud for the first time on the Star Chamber Show to introduce you to the one, the only, the man himself, Mike Gruber. And Mike, you are on the Star Chamber Show.
Hello.
It's the man. There he is. Oh, my God. This is the first. Yes, loud and clear.
All right.
Loud and clear.
Very good.
First time I have got to talk to you live. This is exciting because I don't know if you caught what Holly said, but every day, like she said, she hears your voice in our house.
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome, and you deserve the spotlight, and hopefully tonight you're going to gain a few more subscribers, and we'll talk about a little bit about your road with your channel and, of course, all your adventures and the fact that, like I mentioned in some of the intro material, that you're one of the hardest-working guys in show business. And
I don't know about that.
Better work ethics out there, I tell you what. And, I have the privilege of keeping up with you on your channel's Discord. And of course I got to pause and give a shout out to some of those great folks like JD. And I promise you, JD, we'll talk a little bit about cats at some point. He wanted me to mention cats on tonight's show. And then of course, the rascal who you've heard me give shout outs to in the show before, but yes, he's probably out there making terrible financial decisions and investing in Fisker or something like that. But Alex Tobias, also known as Poor Pet, love that guy. He gives me amusement on a near daily basis. And even Ollie knows who he is because he sees me laughing hysterically at what he does. And I should preface this. Tonight's show, we will be making no financial advice whatsoever. Talking for fun. There may be some, you may glean insights, but it's not financial advice. So, yeah, I just want to make sure we just get that out of the way because of, you know, the nature of what Mike has to deal with on a daily basis. And, you know, he has to give that disclaimer as well because, as you know, I mean, it's a hot area of the YouTube world, and I'm just going to say this, Mike. I mean, the reason I, you know, wanted to give you a spotlight and encourage all the creatives listening tonight, filmmakers, writers, everybody else, that if you're going to follow a YouTuber that is in the financial news and cryptocurrency and all, Mike is definitely a guy that I strongly recommend because, and this is why, because a couple of years ago when I was first getting into it, I mean, I was seeing all these people are just, all they were is hype and, you know, hysterics and or shilling projects that, you know, ended up being disasters. And that's all you see over and over and over again, the YouTube world. And yet there's, here and there, every once in a while, you see a shining light like Mike, who gives you straight talk. And he doesn't, you know, overhype something. He doesn't shill for projects or anything like that. He just tells you the way it is. And yeah, it might create more buzz to be one of the hype people. But yeah, Mike has taken the solid and a little bit longer route because he's built his channel on integrity. And that's what I love about your channel, Mike. And it's yeah, is that you've been very careful not to fall into that hype shell trap. So
yeah, and so I appreciate
kudos.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
cause, I mean,
appreciate
it's,
it. Really, I just try to keep it real because to me, I'm trying to make money in crypto, really not off of being a YouTuber. So being a YouTuber is just me kind of talking about it to people who want to hear about it, because if I talk about it to my friends and they won't want to hang out with me, I can never shut up about crypto. So at least on YouTube, I found some people that want to hear it.
Oh, you have.
You
I mean, several.
You found your tribe. Yes. You
yes.
found your tribe, as we say it. You find those around you, you know, that have like mindsets, and it's always great to sit and chat with those individuals.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's and he's got several thousand subscribers, and it's fun to get to know some of the other ones. I've made friendships with some of them, and through, like I said, his Discord, and of course through the chat threads on the. On the episodes, very well produced, by the way. Mike takes great care on his presentation, and he's got really. I've watched it evolve. I mean, everything is constantly improving. I mean, the way you edit the show, the look of it, the lighting, the presentation. I mean, you've just done a great job with the episodes, definitely production wise. And then, I definitely want to mention now you even have a little bit of a co-host, and
he's
the
CEO, actually.
Yeah. He's CEO, yes, and he's if you're familiar with Dogecoin, you know the type of dog that you see on the Doge logo, and that's the Shiba Inu. It's a Japanese breed of dog. Very hard, not the easiest breed to adopt. Not a huge number of them out there. Well, Mike managed to adopt one, and he's got a puppy named Ibisu. So, and that's his CEO, I as we hear. So, shout out to Ibisu, and I know Holly loves the photos. I showed Holly
the
photos.
Yeah, according to legend, if you don't. If you evoke his name, then he'll bring good fortune to your portfolio. So good job calling a shout out to Ibisu.
Well, I sure hope so.
Right.
Well, it'll take a supernatural act to help poor Pet's portfolio. So
seems like these days it would take an act from God to help us with any of our portfolios, really.
Right, but what got you? Well, you're a self starter, you're a self motivator, and so I mean, what point, years ago when this all started, what got you into crypto, and what made you decide to start a channel? That's a good question to ask.
Well, at first, I actually got into crypto, I think, like a lot of people did, in the beginning of the whole crisis in 2020. When I saw that the government was going to just be printing a bunch of money, and I knew that it had to come from somewhere, and if they were going to be driving the economy into the ground and making everybody close their businesses, then they couldn't get the money back through taxes, so it just had to be printed. And so I started looking for alternative places to put my money, and I came across actually Peter Schiff's channel, which, if you don't know, he's basically a meme in the crypto community as one of the biggest anti-crypto people out there, and he's a big gold bug. And when I first came across him, I believed what he had to say, and I bought a bunch of gold, and then when it didn't really do anything, I started to look into cryptocurrency, and I got on Robinhood, just like probably almost everybody else does, and I came across Dogecoin, and it was about it had to have been under a quarter of a penny at the time. And I was buying Bitcoin and Ethereum because I knew the story about Bitcoin being a store of value. And whenever I had like a little bit, like a few extra dollars or some change in my portfolio there, I would just, or in my cash account on Robinhood, I would just throw it into Dogecoin. And it started off being like maybe 5% of my crypto portfolio, if that. And then it shot up to being like 99% of it, and I should have probably reevaluated things at that time, but just like everybody else, I got caught up in the whole Elon Musk going on Saturday Night Live thing, and from that point on, basically, I've just been trying to educate everybody and make sure that everybody knows why we're invested into crypto, if you are, and that it's not just going to necessarily be an escape from the financial system until it gets totally developed, but that you have to be skeptical of the hype in the space and make sure that you're making wise decisions.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So
you and I have definitely joked, and you know, of course, we're not going to get in too much trouble by mentioning names here, but yeah, we joked about some of these, you know, crazy, you know, other channels that they just shill things, and you know, a lot of people that are new to it, you know, fall into that and they get sucked into some of those things, and I know that probably drives you crazy, especially when you have a channel that's more, you know, like I said, you know, it's more focused on the reality as opposed to the hype. But like, do you have, what's your advice for people if they're first getting into crypto on, you know, like I said, red flags, you know, when seeing what I call the hype shill kind of channels, what kind of things should they be wary of?
Well, in general, it seems like kind of if someone has a big following and if they're sponsored by like exchanges that offer big leverage without naming any names on that as well. And just really like in the thumbnails, they'll be putting stuff like 1,000x and just things that seem too good to be true. And it's kind of the cliche. All you need to do is do your own research and make sure that like you're vetting the people that you're listening to and hearing different opinions. Because if you get like, if you just watch one channel all the time, then they could just be hyping you up on something that they're actually being paid to shill, and then on the backside, just selling and dumping on their followers, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, at first, I mean, like I said, you get, it looks all glitzy and flashy, and you see all the big, you know, it's a big channel, big, and you tend to think, oh yeah, that must be legitimate. But as you get into it, you know, as I did, you start to be able to see what you're talking about and learn which channels to avoid and like I said, which ones to zero in on, like yours, and you know, which is, as I love the name of your channel. It's one of the only good ones in that sphere, in that space, and I think that's brilliant. You know, yeah, how you named it.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of the joke. Is like, I mean, I'm not trying to be arrogant and call myself the only good channel, but it actually comes from Dogecoin, which the motto and what Doge stands for is to do only good every day. So I just kind of took it from the Doge motto and ran with it, you know?
Yeah. I knew that's where it comes from, but yeah, there are days when I'm looking at the space and I'm going, you know, well, it seems like Mike has the only good channel in this sphere, but because you also have produced some really good, like I would say almost many documentaries, I mean, like 20 minutes long on certain topics. There, a few of them have been really educational, especially for newbies on your channel. And I love how you've worked that in since you've, you know, you rebranded as Only Good. And those are some shows I advise, you know, some of the listeners to check out. Because, yeah, you got some good stuff there, and those are pretty well received. And you've got some on the scams and things like that too on there. But it's definitely, yeah, you've, what's the balance when you're deciding what kind of episode to do? Because some of them you do some great chart analysis and news, and you do a lot of good stuff in tracking, you know, what the Fed decisions are and all. And then the other times, you know, you have some good, almost like I said, mini documentary type episodes. What's your approach to deciding what kind of content you're going to do on a given week or month?
Well, I appreciate all the praise, but honestly, I just kind of go with my gut and whatever is going on in the news currently, you know, just, I kind of go off of what people seem to be talking about. And then I just try to make a better and more informed video than what I've seen people putting out in the space. And, as far as documentaries, I was trying to do like a mixture. I was going to do like one of those for every two like news kind of versions, and then but those didn't actually those weren't very well received, so I haven't done one of those in a while. And I don't really have a plan, I just kind of put them out.
Well, I like those. I mean, those I thought they were great, and maybe in time those will, you know, catch on a little bit more. But I mean, I thought those are nice, nice kind of, you know, kind of changed it up a little bit between your market kind of shows, and I thought that was a really cool thing. And go ahead.
Sorry. I actually prefer to make those kind of videos. Really, that's why I got into making videos, is because like I just like movies, and the whole like the creation aspect of it is what attracted me. And then getting into crypto, it seems like everybody just wants to hear the news. And if I just do strictly news, then it's more like I don't have to edit it, and it doesn't take as long. So it's not old news when it comes out, as soon as it comes out. And so, but if you guys like those documentary style videos, I'll try to make some more of those, because I actually prefer to make those kind of videos.
Yeah, you've got an eye for editing. I mean, so speaking as a filmmaker, screenwriter, you've definitely got an eye for putting a show together, for sure. And you certainly got the gear to do it now. You got some firepower. I mean, I love looking at your setup, because it's like looking on the command deck of like a Star Trek vessel or Star Wars vessel. I mean, you got like 15 monitors and neon lights everywhere, and yeah, it looks spectacular. Your setup,
yeah,
it's awesome.
That's almost half the reason why I started doing YouTube, was so I could get a nice setup. Not really, but it is a good perk.
Like, yeah, it's like the I call it Holly here has heard me. I call it the mix Mike's War Room. She's and Holly, yeah, jump in here, because you've been around me, and you've listened and seen his show, and of course you hear his voice there quite often, because I'm always playing it around here.
I get so tickled at, I encourage our listeners, please go check out his YouTube channel. I get so tickled because, you know, like if Elon tweets something, or, you know, somebody does, the market starts to go up, you know, Doge is going up, and, you know, it's pay the man. And I love your excitement, you know, that you have in your voice. And you can tell you just have a passion for crypto. You know, it's just something that you love, that just excites you, and you truly have a passion for it and an eye for it. You know, I do listen to your advice and hear everything you say, and yeah, I just love it. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's, you know, it's all that. Really good channel.
Well, thank you. Really, what drives me to do this is basically just to educate people about how really the government works, and how all of their value is being just eroded away. People go to work every day and work very hard for the money that they make, and then they pay taxes only for the government to go around and just pull the rug out from under them by devaluing their money and making it harder for them to survive. And I just think it's really important for people to actually understand that, because they don't teach you these kind of things in the public school system, and it's just important for people to actually see the real picture.
Well, right. I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because a lot of people, you know, they think, oh, cryptocurrency, and, you know, they'll read some of the bad stories about, you know, some, you know, exchange that, you know, didn't do things right, or some, you know, nefarious character here or there. But at the same time, they never stop and question about fiat currency, or what we use, you know, the dollar money,
right.
You know, and they never stop and question about that.
Yeah, they say that cryptocurrency is used for money laundering and by drug dealers and arms dealers and all of these things. But so is the dollar.
Right.
The dollar is used even more than cryptocurrency is used for those things. And with cryptocurrency, it's all on, especially with Bitcoin and everything, it's all on the blockchain. So it's actually more available for you to go and do an investigation and see what happened instead of with the dollar, where everything is actually done in the shadows, and our government continues to lose trillions of dollars, like the Pentagon not being able to pass an audit. And if it was all on the blockchain, then we could see how not only is it that the dollar is used by citizens and normal people for illegal activities, but also our government is doing these things. They're just doing it behind closed doors where we can't see.
Yeah, definitely. And you also mentioned, I do want to go back just a little bit about the devaluation of the dollar, because if you look into it, and I encourage people to do their own research, but since, you know, around 1913, you know, when we got the Federal Reserve and, of course, the income tax came in, everything like that, the dollar has been in a decline in terms of what your dollar can purchase ever since, and continues to decline. I mean, your dollar from 30 years ago would have purchased a lot more than your dollar of today, or 20 years ago, and even 10 years ago it purchased more. And it's just like the money you earn is actually getting eroded just because of the performance of what fiat currency is doing. And so, yeah, there's definitely an argument to be made for the crypto space and you know, the ease, you know, like I said, of transactions, especially I like to mention for creative people, the ability to transact internationally with cryptocurrency. It's a breeze. And so, yeah, if you're doing, you know, getting support or people buying your work from other countries, or, you know, wanting to make donations or support your, you know, you in some way with crypto, I mean, it's makes it easier for folks to do that from other countries, for sure. So, I mean, there's so many different things we can look at as far as benefits, I think. But yeah, but I mean, back to the fiat thing, I mean, yeah, there's people never seem to criticize that. It's like, yeah, your dollar is just getting ripped out right from under you as you earn it. And that's, so, I mean, sure. That's what I think.
Well, because you know, only has the, like I was talking about in the chat room, you know, money is a human construct. It only has the value that we place upon it. So, you know, if the government or the stock market decides, oh, well, the U.S. dollar isn't worth a penny now, well, then that's going to be its value. You know, they can literally just pull that rug right out. You know, you can wake up tomorrow and the Chinese yen is worth, you know, 20 times what the dollar is. And
yuan,
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, the yuan, yeah, that's definitely, yeah. But yeah, comment on that, Mick, if you want.
Yeah, that's one of the things actually that draws me to Dogecoin. People talk about Dogecoin and say that it's got an unlimited value and that it's just being inflated as well. But people don't look at the actual rate of which Dogecoin is being inflated, because there's only, I think it's like 3.2% of the value is being created every year at this current rate, but it actually is in a descending trajectory to where as time goes on, the inflation rate is actually a smaller percentage of the total supply. And currently with the inflation rate in the U.S. being at about 6% and it being as high as about 9% in the past year, Dogecoin is much more viable as a currency, in my opinion, and it just doesn't receive the respect that it should, even by the crypto community, for not having as much inflation as the dollar or as very many other cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. That's true. And also, I think the fact that it's such a popular meme coin with all the, you know, memes and, you know, the Doge logo and things like that, I think a lot of people also overlook the fact that it has a really very good and dedicated development team behind it. I mean, some really top people that are involved with the tech behind it and developing, you know, the new updates. And I've, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm not an expert in that area, so I can't, you know.
Well,
so it's impressive.
Actually, I wanted to comment on that. With Dogecoin, one of the things also that draws me to Dogecoin is that it follows really closely to Bitcoin's upgrade. And if you know anything about Bitcoin, one of the things that people think gives it so much value is that people or the developers are so slow to actually change the fundamentals of the project. So with Dogecoin having the set inflation rate that it has, I think that it's pretty solid because the developers actually don't change the way that it functions so that you can believe in what it is and know that what you're investing in isn't going to change over time. and become something that's not worth investing in the future.
Right.
And also, yeah, people say with cryptocurrency that it's not backed up by anything, like Holly was saying, with the dollar not being backed up by gold anymore and stuff like that. Like, what mm-hmm. gives things value is that people say that it has value. That's just how value works. Like, cryptocurrency right. isn't backed up by gold, but the dollar isn't backed up by gold anymore since 1971. And really, what gives gold value anyway? It's just a shiny rock. The thing that gives items value is that people in general came together and said that it has value.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can give you a good illustration of that, Mick or Mike, with I guess you used to go by Mick, so I still have it ingrained in me because I have some of your T-shirts from that era. And by the way,
yeah.
he has great merchandise on his store. It looks killer. And I actually own a couple of his T-shirts, and they're fantastic, and they're still holding up. And even though I've worn them 500
yeah.
times because I'm always representing. But I've just digressed
you, yeah.
a lot. My point was is that – when it comes to value is that you can look, I'll use this as a concrete example. Yeah. As far as what value is tied to what people perceive, vinyl records, look in the 1990s with vinyl records. Okay. I love vinyl, always have, always will. And so, yeah, I wasn't selling mine or getting rid of anything, but in the 1990s, I watched as, you know, CDs came in and took over and nobody was paying attention to vinyl. You could go into some, you know, kind of like pawn shops and stuff and buy top records. I mean, Beatles records, Led Zeppelin records for like a buck. I mean, they had boxes and boxes and boxes of records that were just basically being almost given away. You go to flea, you know, like the garage sales and get them for dirt cheap, a quarter a piece, a dollar. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's this vinyl renaissance that occurs in the 2000s. And of course now is almost like another golden age for vinyl. And all of a sudden, all those very same records that you were buying for 50 cents a pop, you know, now are selling on eBay for, you know, 40 bucks, 50 bucks, $100, things like that, that everybody could have scooped up for 50 cents or a dollar back in the end of the 90s when everybody thought it was just kind of phased out and gone. And so that is a prime example of that shows you how value works and how people can confer value on something. It's not inherently the thing itself, it's what value people place on it. And I think vinyl is an excellent illustration, I think, that most people can follow to follow along with that. But the same principle applies, I think, to cryptocurrency or anything. It's what people decide is valuable becomes valuable, and that's what it is. It's not the intrinsic object itself. I mean, even gold, you know, was not thought of as much of a big deal, you know, to some cultures in the ancient world, and, you know, and especially in some of the Mesoamerican societies, all they would, you know, they thought it was nice, but, you know, they didn't think it was the end all and be all like the Spanish did when they came across, you know, from Europe, and they were all like, whoa, there's all this gold, and, you know, to them it had great value, and to the culture they had come to see, it didn't. And, I mean, so yeah, so even with something like that, I mean, you can use it as an example, but that, yeah, value is very much what people place on something and not anything intrinsic. I mean, do you see it? Does that make sense, Mike? I hope.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly how value works. And value also is very closely linked to scarcity, and if they continue to print dollars and they're talking about printing a $1 trillion platinum coin, the dollar is becoming less and less scarce, and therefore people are going to see it to have less and less value. And whenever if we default on our debts, and if other countries stop buying our treasury bills, then we're going to be in a world of hurt because our dollars are going to basically lose all of their value.
Right.
So what do you see right now, Mike, for the cryptocurrency world? I mean, because obviously there's always little controversies, and, you know, the government is always having little, you know, panels on the topic, and, of course, the Fed comments on it once in a while, or SEC comments on it once in a while. What do you see in the immediate future as far as regulations and with respect to America, its approach to the crypto space? What's your take on it right now?
Well, for right now, I would say we might be able to see some vague regulation really come out. I'm not as optimistic as a lot of other people in the crypto space because I think the government is still trying to wrap their head around some of the first internet technologies that we barely even use today, like Instagram and Facebook. And with us moving on to Web3, I think they're going to be trying to wrap their head around where we're at right now in the crypto space in the next 20 years and with AI to contend with as well. I just don't think they can keep up with how technology is going. So in my opinion, I
right.
think that in the meantime, we're probably going to continue to be really, I think it's going to just be kind of sideways for a little while until Bitcoin continues to follow its four-year cycle, because I think that's kind of what it does. And that with the halving being in about a year, we probably have a little while to go until things start to pick up again. But I don't think it's going to be because of clear regulation necessarily. Even if we did get clear regulation, though, I don't necessarily think that that means that it's going to remain clear in the future, because they can always change their mind. Like the SEC has said multiple times that they didn't think Ethereum was a security, but they've seemed to go back on that. And even if you look in other areas of what the government does, like with firearms, for example, for the past 10 years, they've been saying that people could have pistol braces on the back of their guns. And just yesterday, I believe they decided not to, or they decided that they're going to go through with a ban and turn like millions of Americans into felons on June 1st. So they could say that Bitcoin and everything and all of crypto is fine for the next 10 years and then just change their mind and turn us all into criminals. So I don't really look to the government for leadership, honestly. Just I think if the government is more clear with regulation, that'll bring institutional investors in more. But for me personally, the whole reason for me being in crypto is because I don't trust them anyway, so I'm not looking to them for guidance.
Yes, and then on the other end of the spectrum, one of the things that I've talked with Holly about that's kind of interesting is, you know, some maverick countries like El Salvador that have adopted like Bitcoin as an official currency of the country. And what were your thoughts on that when it happened? And how has it worked out? Because I haven't followed it. Do you know how it's worked out for El Salvador on that since then? And do you think some other small countries might do the same thing and have Bitcoin as a national currency or others?
Yeah, I definitely think there's going to be more to follow. There's been a lot of countries that have been talking about it. But when it first started to happen, I was actually kind of skeptical. Everybody was hyping it up. But I knew that it was close to the top of the market, and I thought it might be just bad timing for them. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a really great move, because as the dollar continues to lose its value, I think Bitcoin and other cryptos will continue to rise. And you can tell that the leading governments and the IMF is scared, because they're trying to tell them that they basically won't give them any money until they change their mind on that. And I just think that it's a good move for them, and the people that are trying to hold them down see it as a threat, and that is really just a sign that they're doing something right.
Right. Yeah, because, it is a threat to the status quo in the sense that it's something that, the banks aren't, in full control of as far as, the crypto space.
The
it's something
bank.
That's, central banks. They're kind of outside
right.
of that sphere. You still, need on-ramps, to buy it, and, there's certain value in that, of course, but yeah, it's definitely it's not controlled as far as that. It's interesting, and I thought it was a fun move by El Salvador. They have an interesting president down there. He's definitely been cracking down on the criminals. That's for sure.
It almost makes you think about moving there, but I don't know if I would want to live under a dictator.
We're close enough, in the States with the dictator country. We don't want to go anywhere.
In that direction.
Don't want it to get any worse for sure. But But yeah, it's definitely interesting to watch some of the mavericks that are out there, and you know, as you know, have because it's just abysmal whenever I've seen like a congressional interview of somebody in the crypto space, just the lack of understanding of anything crypto coming from the, you know, the elected representatives, and just clear when they talk, they just don't know anything about the market or how it's just, so it makes me shake my head almost. Well, you've heard me vent with you on the Discord about that, but yeah, definitely a bummer when you hear
these
people talk.
Yeah, it doesn't instill much confidence. I definitely think they're still trying to catch up, like I said, to just the earlier days of the internet. They don't even understand how the internet works, and it seems like they really don't even understand how money works either. They're all following the Keynesian school of economics anyway, which means that they basically think they can print money into infinity, and as long as they control it with interest rates, that things won't get out of control. But I don't believe that for a second.
Well, we're getting ready. I mean, it's a very timely comment by you there, Mike, because we're getting ready to have another debt ceiling showdown. And, of course, as we all know, the solution will probably be print more money and same cycle over and over again. And that's
there's definitely no other option. They're not going to be able to cut they're not going to cut funding enough for their budget to be able to bring down debt or anything. And the amount of debt that we have is unserviceable with the interest rates being so high, because we're $32 trillion in debt. So that means that we have to pay whatever the interest rate is. Right now it's 5%. So 5% of that annually to keep up with our debt obligations. And that's just the interest. And with us going into a recession, they're not going to be able to bring in more taxes, because you actually have to have earnings for taxes to go up. And I just don't see any other option, because also the way that a lot of government agencies work is that if they spend all of their money on their budget for the year, then they're guaranteed that amount of money for the next year's budget plus some. So it's basically a ratcheting situation where it can only go up and the spending can't go down. There's just no way for
them
to cut funding enough. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, they might be able to cut it from what Biden's budget announcement or his expectations were, but they're not going to be able to bring it down enough for us to be able to keep interest rates this high. Definitely.
Yeah. And these are the kind of mechanics that you're going to hear about on Mike's channel. I mean, he often will give insights and comments about these kind of mechanics, these kind of things. And you will grow to learn and understand a lot more about how our financial system works, alongside, of course, you know, updates on the crypto space. And that's why I love hearing you talk, because it's like stuff that Holly and I listen to you talk about quite often, and definitely awesome. And but as far as your channel, you know, when you're putting together an episode, I do want to get to, you know, some of the I guess the production or tech side, post-production side. How long does it take you typically to put together one of your episodes? Because, you know, you do have a fair amount of editing involved in your shows.
Well, with just my news, like the ones that I do on a weekly basis, it doesn't take very long actually for the editing, because I have like a template in Premiere Pro and I just kind of plug it in. And also I use an AI software through Command Prompt that it cuts out all of the blank spaces in the recording automatically. So with the use of AI, it doesn't really take that long at all. But the documentary style ones, those take at least a week usually, sometimes two, depending on how long the video is.
Right.
I spend more time on researching actually than like post-production usually.
Yeah. Well, and tell us a little bit about, the amount of, because I know that you, I imagine you sitting down there, you know, having a few beers, watching on your war room, like watching the whole world in action on your various monitors, and I seeing you absorb all the financial news. I just have this image of you, like, kind of like a very Zen kind of thing. What is that process like for you? I mean, as far as how do you tackle an average day in the life of Mike Gruber, as far as keeping up on all of this stuff What's it like as far as your research?
Well, I guess it helps to be kind of a nerd because I'm just into doing this research all day. I don't know. It just comes natural. And so when I wake up, I just want to know about what's going on with crypto. And then I probably do what most people do. I do actually watch a lot of other crypto channels like the Coin Bureau. And then I watch some of the interviews with like big bankers or Congress people that are on like Wealthion and Real Vision, which are some really great channels. And then I kind of go from there. I'll just pick a topic that really sticks out to me. And then depending on if it's a certain crypto project, I'll just go straight to the source or to like the GitHub and start interacting, trying to figure out what the developers are talking about. Reddit and things like that are really good resources because there's a lot of people in there that's all they do is just talk about cryptocurrency and develop the software. And basically that's just it. I just kind of do what everybody else does, but try to gather more information than the next person by doing my own research, like they say everybody should do. And then I kind of just share it with everybody. And like I said earlier, it's like nobody, like if you just talk to your roommate or whatever about this all day, then they're going to get annoyed. But it also helps you to put your thoughts together and have people to bounce your thoughts off of and stuff like that. I think it's really great to like have some kind of a place that you, even if you're not trying to publish what you put together, just writing all of this stuff down and everything is really important because you got to work out your thoughts on cryptocurrency. Everybody kind of has their own view on it, and you got to see all of the different perspectives and try to come up with your own thesis, you know?
Right.
And basically, I just share that with everybody.
Yeah, or we have our ace in the hole, and that's Holly will probably laugh at this, but just watch what poor Pet is currently doing, and then do the opposite, and then you'll be fine.
Yeah, that'll work too. Yeah. If Porpoise says to buy some options for Fisker, then go short there.
Yeah. He's like the Jim Cramer of our Discord.
Right. Between Porpoise and Jim Cramer, if you do the opposite, you'll probably make some money. Not financial advice.
Right. Not financial advice. But, yeah, that's my method. It's never failed. But yeah, I know poor Pet. Yeah, he's out there drinking one of his California spinach shakes and – yeah, buying his $15 hot dogs out in California. Somewhere listening to us, but we love you, poor Pet. We do, and you provide us with joy on a daily basis.
Definitely.
And Holly, do I not laugh out loud reading poor Pet stuff on the Discord?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, I laugh out loud often. But yeah, as far as the people go, yeah, that's one thing that I think is fun about with your channel. And of course, you know, comments on the thread of the YouTube channel itself and then the Discord. But yeah, it's definitely getting to know some of the folks. And have you enjoyed that process, getting to meet and know some of your people?
Yeah, that's definitely the best part for me as well. I love interacting with everybody and, like I said, just bouncing ideas off of each other. And if it wasn't for the humor, I don't know if I could have made it through the bear market. It's been pretty brutal, really. So definitely thank all of y'all in the Discord. Y'all have been helping me out, making it through. I don't know what
You're
I would
welcome.
Have done without y'all.
Yeah, you attracted all these absolute crazy people, including this crazy bourbon-drinking Kentucky rider that happened to really like your channel. And you just – I'm like the neighborhood cat. You just can't get rid of me now. Here you are on the podcast. And next thing you know –
I wouldn't want to get rid of you. I love having you in the Discord and being part of the community. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you. And you're here in the podcast tonight. Tomorrow you'll be – coming out on your private jet to visit Imaginarium for the first time. So that will be the next one.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I'll just
ride on
a paper airplane over there.
And your handlers will be on site with your purple Lambo when you land.
That would be nice. Remote control, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we never know.
Oh man. Well, if anyone's gonna do it, you will. So if you don't make it, then I think everybody should just throw in the towel. Because I swear to God, I mean you're dedicated,
no,
and you see
actually,
that every
I think
day.
I think it's kind of the opposite, really. If I can make it, anybody can. Because, like I said, I'm just a regular guy. I don't have any, like, background, and I've never been to college. I didn't go to MIT like a lot of these people, like the chairman of the SEC did. Like, it's ridiculous how much people and how much knowledge is actually in this space. But if someone like me can wrap my head around the concepts of just how the financial system works and what cryptocurrency is, then I think anybody can do it. You just got to use your time wisely and make sure that you, like, for me, it started off, like, during the pandemic, I was working actually at Domino's, and I just kept my headphones in all day, and I was the manager at a Domino's, and I just learned about cryptocurrency all day instead of listening to music or whatever. And I just think sometimes there's times throughout the day that people, just like with working out, people say they don't have time, and then the whole thing is if you just put in, like, 30 minutes a day, it makes a difference. And before you know it, you can wrap your head around all of these concepts and really change your life. Just the thing about it is that they don't teach these concepts in school, and you have to go out on your own and seek out the knowledge. So I'm just doing what I can do to try to help people come across or maybe be able to stumble across some of that information.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I definitely want to give you some kudos. One day I hope you do share. I do hope one day that you do share your life story. I'm privileged and honored to know it. But all I'll say is this. I mean, you didn't have any help on this road. You pulled yourself up with your own bootstraps and did this on your own. And your motivation, self-drive is amazing.
I appreciate that, but like I said, anybody can do that. I'm not special. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do that, for real. I'm just a regular guy.
Yeah.
Anybody listening to this can grasp these same concepts.
I really appreciate you, though.
Like, I've been studying cryptocurrency and all of this stuff for, like, 4 or 5 years now, going on 4 or 5 years. I started learning about cryptocurrency in, like, early 2019, and I really got into it when the thing kicked off in 2020. And at this point, I kind of joke sometimes and say, like, I'm nearing a bachelor's degree in crypto, which isn't a real thing, obviously, but but with enough time, it's not that hard to understand. Cryptocurrency seems really intimidating in the beginning, and it's almost like the people – sometimes if you don't know necessarily about financial terms in the first place, like I didn't, it can sound like a totally different language. And if you just push through that, and it's kind of like a hump you just got to get over, then it'll all start making sense. And when it really clicks, it'll change your life. Like for me, it was just totally captivating. And that's really why I started making YouTube, is just because I figured when I started talking about it that people would, it's like one of those things when you realize, you're like, wow, why doesn't everybody know this? Like, if I just tell some people, it'll be so obvious and it'll click real easy. But then when you start talking about it, it's like people don't even listen or like people don't want to hear it, you know, because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just push through, then I'm telling you, it'll all make sense.
Yeah, I agree. And Holly, I'd like you to comment a little bit on it because you've been easing into more and more crypto. I mean, you've definitely got your, you got your account, and you've been getting some coins here and there, And but I mean, it's about it from the perspective of what Mick's kind of talking about coming into it and having to learn it, but how those terms and all the dynamics and what does that look for you? What does that look like as you come into it? Because you're new, a little newer to it.
Well, to me, I approach it like if you come in with some basic knowledge of the stock market or what stocks are, you know that nothing is set in stone, that everything's a gamble. Just because you buy 100 Doge doesn't mean you're going to be rich in 6 months. You more likely or not. However, if you hold that Doge for a substantial amount of time, it will grow value. You can pretty much guarantee you that, but it's not set in stone, like I said.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like they say, time in the market beats timing the market.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you're crossing
and
your
also,
fingers.
You got to also, if you're first getting into crypto, just recognize that the price isn't necessarily an indication of value. You got to look at the actual supply and then multiply that by the price, and that's how you get the market cap. And that's really more indicative of the value of a cryptocurrency project. So, like with Dogecoin, it's 7 cents right now, which looks like a super. It is a pretty good bargain compared to Bitcoin. But with Bitcoin being at 27 or 26,000 right now, it looks like Dogecoin could get all the way up there. Maybe like, what if Dogecoin got up to like $10 or $100 even? But that's almost impossible, really. For it to get up to $10 is almost impossible. You just have to really understand the dynamics of how the price interacts with the supply.
Right. But and then you look at it too as, you know, get it while it's low, just like you would any stock. Buy low.
Yeah.
You know, and you could sell
right
high.
Now.
Or in crypto world, we just hold, you know, unless you're going to make an ungodly amount of money, then you pull a chunk out, you know, and invest in something else or whatever, but you leave some in there, you know. Pull you some earnings out if you need it, but leave some in there.
Yeah, well, one of the good things to do is, like, if it's low and you buy it and it goes up and you're not sure if it's going to continue to go up, you can pull out your principal investment, and then basically you're just sitting on house money. Isn't going to affect you negatively necessarily if it does go down anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so there's ways to mitigate. But also, like, right now, with everything being so low, I know it's like the cliche. Really, the cliche is what you want to listen to. Like I said, do your own research and dollar cost average. Everybody says the dollar cost average. And if you just kind of listen to the things that everybody says over and over again, then you'll probably be on a good path. It's like everybody kind of knows what they should do, but emotions get in the way. But with things being low and it being a possibly recovering bear market, this would be a possible good time to start looking into things without giving financial advice and maybe start allocating as they say on mainstream media, like 1 to 5% of a portfolio just to kind of hedge you against other things, you know?
Right.
Just
right.
As a hedge against like the dollar going losing value and stuff like that.
Right. Well, Mike, guess what? I just had to pop off for a second there because I had to check on a caller, and we actually have a cryptocurrency fan who would like to just come in for a brief call. So I'm going to bring a caller in here, surprise, and we'll see what's going on.
Cool.
Okay. Caller, your microphone should be on. Welcome to the show. You're live with us and Mike. Think for yourself.
Hi, my name is Think for Yourself. I want to jump in here and talk about cryptos. I think a lot of the people are forgetting the main aspect of crypto, and that's the use case of it. I don't know what happened. Maybe 3 years ago, or in the last bull run in 2019 during COVID and all that, I think people started looking at cryptos like an investment, like it's stock. And you know, you should buy it low and sell it high and look at trading averages. And they forgot that there's a use case for these things. Bitcoin, when Bitcoins first came out, it was used as a payment system. PayPal wasn't around at the time when Bitcoin came out. In fact, when Bitcoins first came out, I think eBay, there was no well, there was an Amazon, but not the Amazon we know. eBay was still accepting money orders. I mean, there was no PayPal connected to it. So when someone created Bitcoins, it was a way to send money digitally from one person to another. I think the only way to have send it money from one person to another at the time was probably Western Union. And Western Union, you had to wait when the Western Union locations was open. But the concept of Bitcoins was to send it instantly from one person to another. And that was the main point of it. But these days, people are looking at Bitcoins like it's an investment. Oh, we buy it now, and then we sell it high. And I just want to say this right now. Bitcoins is a joke. Bitcoins, there's no way that Bitcoins will be used in this future society. I believe that there's other cryptos out there that will eventually infiltrate our financial system, like XRP. Used. There's a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, well, not all cryptocurrencies have the same use case. And Bitcoin, while it was initially intended to be for transactions, and it still can be used really well for that, like in place of Western Union for remittances for way less fees. But these days, yes, it can, and it is every single day. But these days, it's more looked at here in America as a store of value, like a digital gold.
Yeah, Bitcoin is looked like a digital gold. That I agree with.
They all have different use cases, and they have all not yet to be developed totally yet.
Oh my God! So Bitcoin is
still a technology that is in its infancy.
Bitcoins right now is, I agree with you that it's a form of like digital gold. But to send Bitcoins, it can take from 15 minutes to 24 hours, and no matter how much
you
use
the Lightning Network, it's instantaneous.
So if you were to send
but if you use the Lightning Network, it's instantaneous, and the fee is pretty much minimal. But this is one of
the
reasons why I like Dogecoin, because it has some of the lowest fees and some of the fastest transactions.
How much is the fee? Do you know how much the fee is?
For what? For Bitcoin?
You don't even know how much the fee is, man.
I'm asking you for what? For Bitcoin, or are you talking about for Dogecoin?
Okay,
Bitcoin.
Dogecoin is a joke. Don't even promote Dogecoin. But
okay.
Anyway, let's talk about Bitcoin.
Okay, all right. We're going to keep the show on a good note here. Come on, guys. All right. Thank you for the call, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay. There we go. Sorry.
No worries. That was actually really good, because it's good to hear from people like that so that you can show that they're actually not based in fact. Like he was saying, that it was intended to be a transactional currency in the beginning, and it is. Like he just was denying straight facts. It is used for remittances every single day with low fees and for less money than Western Union. But nowadays it is looked at like digital gold, and he even said himself that he agrees with that. So there's not really anything else to say.
No, definitely. I did remember the use of it kind of like as far as almost like an early PayPal back in the earliest time of it. And I think that's when that famous pizza purchase took place, where that person bought that pizza
Pizza day.
That period.
Just to clear things up, the usual fee to send Dogecoin, a transaction on Dogecoin, is 0.0025 Dogecoin. And with Dogecoin being 7 cents, that's pretty much nothing. It's not even a penny. So it is. You can send money for basically nothing, and Western Union is just outdated technology. Not to mention our whole banking system runs on outdated technology, and it really just needs revamping. So for people to just shut down this technology and say that it doesn't have any use case is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting side of it. I'm glad that was brought up in the calls, the use cases, because, like, I love Cardano, ADA, and certainly Charles Hoskins, you know, has been developing that with a mind to the use case of it, especially in developing nations. You know, it's been a big mission to use Cardano as one example. But, yeah, there's a lot of others.
I like Cardano.
And, I mean, there's some that are tied to, store retail inventory. There's some that, I mean, it's just, there are a lot of projects out there that have been kind of developed as definite uses, not just as a meme coin or something like that. They definitely have a actual purpose. And,
go ahead.
What I like about Cardano, actually, is that Charles Hoskinson makes sure that any kind of updates to the program is actually vetted and that it's basically tested and everything, instead of shoving everything, all of the new updates onto the project without making sure that it works like some other projects do. So while a lot of people say that Cardano is slow to develop, I think Charles Hoskinson is doing a really great job at making sure that the developments actually work so that the project will be sustainable in the long term.
Yes. Yeah,
I want to point out that a lot of people, keep saying, well, it's not tangible, it's not physical. And somebody mentioned earlier about, it can't pay if the lights go out. You can't have it without electricity. Well, I'm here to say that in a few years down the road, and I don't think it's going to be that long, there's not even going to be paper money. It will all be digital because the government's going to control all the money. So it will all be
CBDC. CBDC.
Yeah, it's all going to be CBDCs. Yep. But right now, actually, most currency is already digital. And if there was a solar flare or something, it would be really hard for our banks to be able to tell what is supposed to be in all accounts and who has what debt.
That's exactly right. So, it does. And with crypto, you can and should have a digital wallet that's external that you put all your stuff on. So then when you are able to access internet or electricity, then you still have your crypto, where
that's
the
right.
government can easily, take over your digital money that's sitting in a bank. Banks can easily go down, which we have seen recently.
We've seen it.
And you can lose everything. Yeah, we have seen it. It just happened. This is recent news. So, you got to look at it that way. And have your digital wallet, people. Do your homework.
Yeah, but
having
a cold storage wallet is very important, because if you use a centralized exchange and keep your cryptocurrency there, then that's no different than keeping your money in a bank, except it's actually worse because they're not backed up by FDIC insurance. And if they go under, they will use your cryptocurrency holdings to settle their bankruptcy claim. So you want to have your crypto in a cold storage wallet. And like you said, if the whole energy grid, or if there was a solar flare or something, if it all went down, as long as there's one node somewhere in the world that's running the Bitcoin code, which there is computers and stuff that are way under, like, the Swiss Alps and like, bunkers and stuff like that, it probably will be able to survive a solar flare. And if any one node is running the Bitcoin code, then you will be able to recover your crypto whenever electricity comes back on, whenever that may be.
Right.
Supposedly.
Agreed.
Supposedly. That's what they say anyway.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's one of my things I was going to make sure we brought up was, the card wallets, cold wallets, things, definitely as opposed to keeping your crypto on an exchange. And definitely advise folks, not financial advice again, but yes, look into it. Google hard wallets, cold wallets, and cryptocurrency and find out what they're about. And that is the preferred method, I think, for a lot of folks in the crypto space.
And definitely do your own research. Like I said, it's cliche, but everybody says it for a reason. Just do what everybody says, and like, as long as, if it's a cliche, it's a cliche for a reason, like I said. So just everybody kind of knows what to do if you start listening. Just don't let the emotions get in the way, or else you'll make unwise decisions. And that goes with anything, really.
Right.
That's just
right.
How investment works.
Oh, yes. I almost had another poor pet joke there, but I'm gonna take it easy on the poor guy tonight.
Poor guy.
He is great. We'll have to get a T-shirt to him.
Since we're getting near the end here, but I have another question for Mike. Is how did you grow your audience on YouTube? Was it natural? Did you put out like some fillers on some other social media, or how did you grow your audience?
It was just really all natural. I got lucky, I guess, because I jumped on doing Dogecoin videos when it was exploding. And I feel like I'm just hopefully just getting started. There's not very many people that do watch currently, I guess because it's the bear market or whatever, but I haven't really been offered very many sponsorships, but I have been offered a couple of the ones by companies that have had some issues in the bear market, and just I try to make everything as legitimate and just straightforward as I can, and I'm not like buying views or anything like maybe some of these other guys are doing, but like I said, I just make videos to kind of work out what I'm thinking and to share it with everybody else, and I'm not even looking necessarily to grow a big YouTube channel. It actually seems like more trouble than it's worth. Like, I see some of these other crypto YouTubers, and it seems like I wouldn't want to be in their position. They get lawsuits and stuff like that all the time, but
right,
like, you know, so yeah, just all natural. I just try to keep it as real as I can and natural as possible.
Well, it is magic, though, because Holly remembers this momentous, famous night when Mike was celebrating the growth of his channel. I forget which milestone it was, but he gave away $100 in Dogecoin and ran a randomizer on his show to pick the winner. And lo and behold, I won. the world almost ended that night. I never win contests. And the world almost ended that night. Yeah, you were that close to Armageddon when you announced me. You didn't realize how close to Armageddon you were by announcing me. Because I never win contests. That almost broke the world.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you what, that was so fun. And
that was a great,
great night. But, yeah, I remember that one. I forget if it was like you had just hit 2,000 members or it was one of the early milestones. I remember that. But that was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. When I pushed the button, I was like, I hope it's one of the guys in the Discord. And then it hit on you. I was like, perfect. That's a crazy coincidence. That's perfect.
Yeah, I think I took a spill of that. Because
the universe returns.
The look on his face that night, Mike's face, was it's classic. Yeah, he had a genuine look of surprise when I came up there. That was too much fun. But it's great stuff. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of people want to know because – yeah, there are those that, yeah, that cheat out there and the, you know, buy followers, and that happens on Twitter and YouTube and all the platforms. You know, they do that, and
yeah,
you know, you can see which ones they are. Yeah, you see ones they
that
are.
That was one of my attempts, actually, the giveaway thing. That was one of my obvious attempts at getting more followers, but people must buy followers, because I've tried some of the gimmicks and it just doesn't work. And I don't want to do anything that's like shady, like and take a sketchy sponsor or whatever. So like, I just go with the flow and keep it natural, because anything I really try, like the more I try, the least it seems to work. So like, I just do whatever comes to mind.
Yeah.
That's what I say on camera, you know.
Yeah, yours has been organic. I mean, I can say that from, you know, religiously watching your show for a couple of years. Your growth has been very natural and organic, and the people that get attracted to it are very solid people. And, yeah, it's not just the people that are flocking to whatever they think the latest get-rich-quick kind of moment is. It's definitely a very solid type
yeah.
of person that you attract. And I think in the long run,
yeah.
that's going to pay off for you. That's be a good base for you. I mean, a very loyal, good
yeah.
base.
That's really, that's important to me as well, is that I attract people with a level head, because I don't want to deal with the people in the comments being all like super excited one day and then mad the next week or whatever. Like, I don't want people mm-hmm. accusing me of things for my own like mental well-being, you know. I don't know how people
right.
do that stuff anyway.
Right.
Like, so yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, you're
and,
a real person, you know. You keep it real. And I think that's why you get, when you get subscribers, you're getting people that stay. You know, you're not like getting people and then they come
yeah.
and go and you lose them. You know, they actually stay and become a part of the community. And, you know, word of mouth goes a long way. And when you've got,
yeah.
you know, several thousand people, that's a lot of word of mouth, you know, and it'll grow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been some really great people sticking around through the bear market, and I really appreciate it. So it's been good.
Yeah,
to have
Mike doesn't jump on everything. I mean, even with me, it took me 2 years to get him on the Star Chamber show. So that tells you he doesn't just dive into anything real quick. You know, he makes his calculation. But one day I do have to be sitting in the same room drinking bourbon with you and celebrating Bisu and big channel for you and everything. And so I know we got
yeah,
about 3 minutes
the
left.
Of the next,
yes.
Yeah. Hopefully
yeah,
at the top of the next market.
Yes, you got it. And I'll be pulling for it. Cause I definitely would love to, like I said, you know, you're always welcome if you're in this area you're always welcome here. But to Holly and myself, yeah we'd definitely love to see you sometime in person. But we've got about 3 minutes left, so right now is that time in the show when you can give your links as far as websites, YouTube channel, any kind of handles for social media. Just tell folks how
okay.
to find you.
Well, on YouTube, it's the Only Good crypto channel, and just search Only Good. You should be able to find me, hopefully. On Twitter, it's Only Good channel. And my website is onlygoodcrypto.com. For now,
nice.
That's pretty much it. And I'll try to work on other social media platforms hopefully soon.
Well, we want to have you on periodically now that you've seen that, you know, it's quite fun being on the show, hopefully. But,
it's been a great time. Thank you for having me on.
I love talking with you. It's great to actually talk live to you, and it's weird to feel like, you know, because you've been such a part of my world. It's almost, you know, I feel like I know you, you know, to some extent.
Yeah.
And it's great to actually interact with you tonight. And I know for Holly, it's been awesome. So yeah, thanks for taking time out, because I know you're a hard worker and always in your war room and getting the news. So but thanks for taking
the
time
way.
Out tonight.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like I know you as well, and it is great. It's great to finally talk to you for the first time, and you as well, Holly. And
yes,
thanks again for having me on.
You got it.
The wonders
let
of
Holly,
social media.
The wonders of social media, Holly. Yes. And Discord and Twitter
you
and
know,
YouTube.
Otherwise, we'd have never met each other. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. He's great, folks. Please go subscribe. Please. And tell him you heard the show tonight. And make me look good, folks. Come on. Yeah, go subscribe. But Holly, I'll let you wrap it up. I almost hate ending the show because it's been awesome. And I've got my second win now. I wish I had some high-dollar bourbon to celebrate, but I don't right now. Holly, go ahead and
we
got yeah,
go
you
to
wrap
the
it up.
Moon.
Yeah,
to the moon,
to the
and
moon.
Then we'll get us
That's
some
$5
bourbon.
That's right.
Yeah, to the moon.
Well, I want to thank you again, Mike, for joining us, and I encourage everybody out there, check out his channels, and join us next week, everybody, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great creative, another great discussion. Be creative the rest of the week, guys. Good night.
Night.
Thanks again. Bye.